Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
As we saw, and as you can verify when you look up into the sky tonight, there's objects out there and there's space. That's basically what the world consists of. And the two dimensions are within you. And humans have become lost in one. So we are here to realize that dimension. It cannot be realized in the future. It cannot be made into an object of a search, because it's here now. The moment you're looking for it, you create a future. Now, what is future? It's a thought form. Apart from that, there is no future except as a thought form. Cannot come except as now. So it's now the arising of space consciousness, or the realization of space consciousness is here now. For example, it happens when you acknowledge not only the words that you hear. Acknowledge simply means pay attention. Notice. Just as noticing here, there are two dimensions, just the same as when you look up into the sky at night, you will find there are two dimensions. There are the words here, and there's a silent space or stillness in which the words happen.
Everyone, welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Eckhart Tolle on Monique Rhodes' Heartbeat track. Happy holidays! It's that time of the year and we're closing old chapters. And I don't know if we're opening new, perhaps we're just continuing, but it might be a time for very deep reflection to really look back at what we have been through this year and what it is that we feel is, if no more, purpose for the soul's journey and the soul's success, but also the soul's healthy state of mind. And for the past few months, I've been sharing a lot about the importance of having a clean heart, that doesn't matter how well it looks on the outside. The question is, are my intentions clean and pure? Are they intentions that will lift up the hearts of others? And we can get a little bit disheartened by the climate that we find ourselves in. And yet I do believe, and I have to, and I think we all have to, believe that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that there is something there for all of us to observe, to seek, to understand, to recognize, which is why we had to go through what we went through. I can't really accept the fact that I'll bury all the issues that I went through for the year. I'm sure they all happened for an important reason. And I've looked back at many situations in my past, and every time I revisit my past and I go deep and I go very honestly into what it is that I've been through, I always come out with the realization I could have thought better about the situation. I could have spoken better in this situation. I could have been better in this situation. So it's not about, I think, not doing so good as such. Many times we have an idea of how we want something to be, but the reality is also showing us that might not be what the destiny has in store, because maybe we're missing an aspect of our intention. Because whatever my intention is, it's how I'm going to see something. If I totally don't trust people, then it could be a saint in front of me. I will find the dirt in that saint just to support the dirt that I'm walking with. So the intentions that I walk with, if those aren't clean and clear, I'm not going to see that. But in my mind, it might look like I want something clean and clear. But still, the reality is that it isn't. And so this is a year of very deep soul-searching review. I think it's such an opportunity. It's such a meaningful time for us to really rise, to be more truthful with our spirit, and to come up with an idea that really my heart, my being, is clean. And that's really what God wants, our clean heart. He doesn't want billionaires. He doesn't need a PhD. He doesn't need a model or an actress with a lot of awards. And I'm not saying that they don't get them. I'm just saying that that's not what he's looking for. He's not looking if you drive a Tesla, but he's looking for, is this child clean? Because only those who are clean at heart and pure at heart can begin to have a very deep relationship with God, with the soul, with the Supreme Being, and really begin to bring forth their jewels, their beauty, the capacity, that perhaps the ideas that we walk around in our mind as to how we want it, perhaps they will really come to pass where they will match the reality of what we've been thinking. It's been a very profound year. Perhaps the last 2 years, if we've really gone into the emotional state of America itself and the rest of the world, there's a lot of anxiety and there's a lot of emotional debris slurring around. And so we are the ones that have to clean up our own emotional debris before we can even try to go and clean up the debris of someone else. That is something I've learned on my own, because no matter how much I've been an instrument to observe the hearts of others, it has never been enough. So when I looked back at the years of service and the years of offering my life, it has nothing to do with anything is wrong with any one of us. However, I believe that we're all here to create an example, to be as truthful and as clean-hearted as we are, or we're supposed to be, that we can see and feel God's love just being around us, with us, for us, that we're moving in grace and beauty and divinity and truthfulness, that we feel like we're in a golden age state of existence whereby it's just safe. It's just the climate of safety. It's a climate of love. It's a climate of acceptance. It's a climate of understanding. It's a climate of shared responsibility and shared assistance, rather than trying to grab and grab and grab and grab only for us, only for ourselves, which then can warp our thinking or warp the way that we believe power is supposed to be. I was speaking to a friend of mine when we were on the golf course in Florida, and he was saying that he flew with a friend in a plane, and this was a billionaire, and he was married, and so was he. Both men are married. And the billionaire was telling him, hey, do you do this?
do you get women? I have this girl we can check. She has a whole bunch of friends. And he looked at him quite perplexed, wondering, but you're married, and I'm married, and I love my wife. And he was wondering that why was this man offering him something that wasn't right? And so what he came away with is that as much as one can be a billionaire or super wealthy, it really comes down to a person's cleanliness of spirit that will be the victor in life. Because he left that flight wondering if that was what most guys did who were up there in that sort of a caliber. And he actually got the words from this guy that said, we know everyone does it. We all do it. Well, you know, it's not a problem. It's just what it is. And so it made me think about, you know, a need to begin to refine and elevate and deeply touch souls with our own cleanliness of spirit, with our own purity of heart. And I don't mean purity in just the way you eat and dress, you don't drink, you don't smoke, but even somebody who's very pure at heart. I've met a lot of people who perhaps have some of those habits, and they seem to be really nice people. Now, I don't live with them, so I can't declare them completely nice, but I've been friends with them for a long time. And they're good people, and I've met some of the most puritanic, sternly puritanic people, and I don't even want to hang out with them. And so it's this cleanliness of intention, it's this purity of intention that I think is the age that we need to walk into, and perhaps that is the age that's calling us there. We're being called into the age of cleanliness of heart, into the age of purity of spirit, because the intensity that we're witnessing in our country and in our world, many of us are wondering, is that what I want to support? Is that what I want to feed? Is that the wolf I want to feed? Is that the one that's going to liberate my spirit, not my body, not my pocket, but liberate my spirit at the end of the journey? You're listening to America Meditating Radio, and I'm your host, Sister Jenna. Happy holidays. Stay tuned. We're going to have a heart-to-heart with Bobby Martin. And before we get on the line with Bobby, let's do what we do best here, is meditate. I hope you all have gotten a copy of Inclusion Revolution Together with Love by yours truly. You can go to Amazon, iTunes, and send it out as a gift to someone that you really care about. I took the liberty of using our preamble, Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and to see how these words actually connect to the whole of us, not just part of us, not to a specific section of our country, but to all of us. And so here is E Pluribus Unum, and please let me know if you like it as well. Take a deep breath. E Pluribus Unum is not meant to suggest that power should be consolidated into a single individual, but rather that power is innately possessed by every individual, which makes up a single collective. In this meditation, I gently allow my thoughts to become aware that each and every thought is a part of a collective community inside myself. When I choose to nurture thoughts of peace and abundance, I generate safety around me and for others to experience. I'm a part of a collective. And what I think, feel, and do creates a community inside myself and outside of myself. I, the living soul, am a citizen. And through my life, I amplify unity, values, love, and togetherness. I use these pure thoughts to govern my life and to share pure feelings with everyone around me. I am not here to be ruled by any waste thoughts or by anyone. Rather, I'm here to rule my life with virtues and respect. I am one out of many, and together, I, you, us, make up a world of kindness and abundance. Let me sit in this pure meaning of E Pluribus Unum. Welcome back, everyone. That was E Pluribus Unum. Background track was by a hip-hop local artist called Joe Robb. Do feel free to check him out. I know that when I told everyone I was going to produce an album with a hip-hop artist, you should have seen the exclamations on everyone's face. My temperament is usually quite sort of easygoing, and his temperament is different. And I thought, if I'm going to do an album on inclusion, it was so important for me to understand what was at the heart of another who was different than I, and that it was important for me to get to know their hearts and to respect what were some of the jewels and the gifts that they have been walking with and living through. And that was one of the tracks on the Inclusion Revolution Together with Love. Today we welcome Bobby Martin. Bobby Martin is resonant repatterner, which I'm going to learn more about, and intuitive and an esteemed teacher of evolutionary process, recognized for her fervor, spirit, her keen perception, and an intuitive teaching method, which articulates her depths of wisdom with captivating simplicity. Now, for over 20 years, Bobby has been passionately focused on empowering individuals, families, communities of people to strengthen their inner spirit and embrace their sacred power through her well-developed trainings and guidance. Today, we're very privileged to welcome Bobby Martin to America Meditating. Happy holidays, Bobby.
Happy holidays, Sister Jenna. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So, born in the Midwest, right? Raised with a Catholic belief system. Wow, you must have really got your family's eyes like, what are you doing now, Bobby? So,
well, there was some reaction.
I am sure. What was your spiritual calling? How did it all begin?
Well, I think in my 20s, I was always curious as to what the mind could do and why things seem to be one person's life would turn out this way and one person's life would turn out this way. And I didn't understand the balance of that. So I read a novel that had a background to it on reincarnation. And when I listened to that and kind of heard that story, it all started clicking. That made sense to me. That was like, okay, this explains why this is this and that is that. And then I started doing more study, got attracted to a school called the School of Metaphysics. The truths and the understandings and the perspective there simply spoke to me and made sense to me. And I think I was re-remembering something that I knew on some level but didn't have words for. So then it began from there.
It's so interesting, huh? When we get called and it's completely different than what our environment, friends, relationships that we've been raised in or just accustomed to, and the kind of courage that it takes to follow that gut feeling. Do you remember when you really started to go out there and really began to follow that gut feeling that just felt so real for you? For example, when was the first time you saw your gift actually helping others?
I don't think I understood. I think all along I was the one that people would talk to and give their stories to. And I found that I'd easy to do, something I was led to do, and people paid attention to what I had to say, which always kind of astounded me. Now I realize over time I got into astrology and so forth. I have 5 planets in Leo, and from that foundation level, why it's like, why wouldn't you be a leader? But I didn't understand that. But as I began to study all of the different facets of how spirit works, mind works, how there's much, much more beyond, above and beyond where I was at, I also came to understand that actually the religion, I had a non-Catholic father and a Catholic mother, and he agreed to raise us in the tradition because he wanted to marry my mother. And the Catholic tradition had a foundation of mysticism with the saints and the angels, and it was also raised with a feminine presence, Mary, as well as Jesus. So I think there was more of a holistic basis there than I was aware of, but it wasn't dogmatic in my upbringing. So because of the mixed background with my parents. So it was simply a choice. So I was always raised with the idea it was choice. And there was nothing that I was never told I had to do it this way. It was, this is choice. And so as I began to explore, I began to realize, oh, I have knowings that other people don't necessarily know, and I started paying attention to how my body told me that, and when I would share these things that I'd always shared, but didn't know that other people didn't have those things, those knowings, that understanding, or didn't trust what they knew. That was my belief, that everybody had this ability, but they didn't know how to uncover it. So I think that's what pushed me on to help empower other people to find their own knowing, their own guidance. And, you know, eventually I got to the point where I would tell people, if someone's telling you, if you find you're drawn to something that has meaning to you, please follow, unless they say, mine is the only way. And then I said, run, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But people naturally listened to me, and I didn't really understand why until time went on. And then I made a choice to move out of corporate life and move into working with spirit and helping people find their own knowing of who they truly were. And I found great traction in that. But it was a big struggle. Transition.
I'm sure, because it's so subtle and it's hard to prove, and it's not really something to prove, but we're living in such a conceptual world and society that people tend to want to hear you, want to come to you, want to befriend you because of something that they can physically see and prove. Next year, we're going to be hosting a movie screening, PGS Intuition, which is all about your personal guidance system and your intuitiveness. We hear a lot about intuition, and we hear a lot about intuitive hunches. How would you explain the intuitive process?
The simplest, most bottom line way is it's your inner voice. And yet most of us have had many layers, that have developed because of input from family or friends or society that is on top of that. So to really let yourself hear your voice, I think, the biggest problem people have when they come in to see me many times, I'll ask them, what do you really want? They know what they don't want. They know what they need to defend against because that's been their conscious experience, but they really haven't been. And you seem to be a leader in this arena of meditation and listening, but they haven't known how to stop and be able to access that inner voice. To me, intuition in the most common way is the inner voice. It's that higher self that's within us that each of us get guided with, whether we call it conscience or whether we call it something that, a tug. Some people feel it very organically as their body has a reaction.
Like a gut feeling?
Yes, that's certainly one of them. Many years ago, I read a book on intuition in the workplace, and a lot of leaders and CEOs, they call it shooting from the hip. But all of those words, I think, encompass what intuition is. And then people who, I always tell people when I'm training and working with them on that level, the resonance repatterning is a way of accessing and kind of cleaning the debris so you can do it. But when I say you're working on your intuition, I said it's like a muscle. You have to use it in order for it to get stronger and really speak more clearly. So it's in the beginning, you have to kind of try it out and just see, well, does this work, or was that something else that was talking to me? And right. But gradually over time, we all find it or refind it, as I think children come in with it. So
definitely kids coming in. So yeah. Educate me on resonance repatterning.
Yes.
What does that
the
mean?
The hard phase.
Yeah. What is that?
Resonance is working with frequency. Everything, if you look at it from a scientific point of view, or everything is frequency. Everything has a vibration, even when you put it under a microscope. So if you think of it, our world is like a big hologram, but we don't see it or perceive it that way. But everything has a frequency, and when you change the frequency of a belief system or a fear or whatever, it changes the hologram. It changes our experience. So what we're doing and what it looks like is we're working with the belief systems, we're working with the intentions, we're working with the problems, and those are all statements that hold frequency. Our thoughts hold frequency. So when you work with those things, you bring them into consciousness, and what we do in sessions, or what I do in sessions, is I also use muscle checking or kinesiology. Some people may be familiar with that, some not. And it's using the muscle checking as a diagnostic tool to let us know and guide us to the person's higher intelligence of what they're ready to look at, what they're not ready to look at, and what's needed, what action is needed to help them shift things. So we're identifying and clearing what is a problem, because when you resonate with something, and you spoke to this, I think, when you were talking about intention, but when you resonate with something, it's, say you resonate with a fear and you're looking at, I think you said, a saint in front of you. It's hard to see that saint. All you see is what the fear is. When we clear the resonance with the fear, you're able to see the saint. We only see what we resonate with. We only tend to hear what we resonate with. So this is it's a process that helps identify and clear what you don't want, and help you identify and clear what you want, align with what you want. So it sounds very simple.
What do we want? What do we want, Bonnie? As you know, we are such a complex group of folks. I don't know how the destiny created us, and I don't mean that as a pessimist. But, you know, sometimes we'll say, oh, we want that, and then we get it. We go, no, not quite like this. Yeah,
well,
right? So...
That's a good question.
So what do we really want as people?
And that is unique to every person. Thank God.
Right.
It'd be boring otherwise, wouldn't it?
That's so true.
Yeah. It's a wonderful, we are a wonderful, complex set of things that I think we're as unique as each star in the sky. And so everyone is individual. I think our jobs are to learn that we are not here to shine for anybody else. Just like in the sky, to me, that's true humility. And that our biggest job, our best contribution, is to shine as big as we can in our own unique way. And that's how we add to that void, that starry sky. So I think it's unique for everyone. And as you said, when you say you want something, usually what people are wanting that for is to fill in something that they are wanting to feel. So many times I find myself asking people, okay, you want that. Some people say, I want to win the lottery. You know, I want $60 million because I said, okay, what's the experience you're asking for there? What is it you really want to experience and feel? What would that $10 million give you? And then when they begin to speak, we're really getting into what it is they really want. You know, we've learned to be attached to the material, thinking it will fill in the void. So what we're looking for is, what is it we really want that we feel is missing within our own life, or our own psyche, or our own soul? And that's a little different for everyone, but I think bottom line, mostly, people want love. They want to feel loved. experience love, and even when they're hurting the most, when if they are vulnerable enough to let themselves think it or say it, they're wanting to feel loved. And I really think that's bottom line to everyone. But most of us define that in different ways, and that's just fine. We're all finding our own journey to access that and how that might feel for us. But when, as you said, if your heart feels whole, if it feels, if we're feeling and experiencing love at any given moment, it's surprising how we surprise ourselves sometimes in how we respond. You know, I know I do in my own life. When I'm feeling loved, I'm much more open, and I reach out in ways that I wouldn't normally give myself that opportunity to, you know. So I think that's underneath everything, but that's not what everybody says, and I think, again, they have to find their own pieces to get there. So now, with the repatterning, help identify that.
Right. Now, we all tend to have folks that we've turned to that inspire us. I think everyone of us have someone that we can turn back to that really, I guess, kept our love going or kept our faith going in ourselves. What have you? Did you have a mentor?
I've probably had a series of them over time. People really recognized me and saw me, and they were very personal. They were individuals who, one friend who was already in working with intuitive healing, who really kept saying, you are meant to do this. And my ego certainly wasn't allowing for that. I was had a corporate job, and I didn't see those possibilities. And she kept, and so I've had individuals like that. The lady who created the resonance repatterning, Chloe Faith Wordsworth, an amazing mind who can synthesize and bring all kinds of fields of knowledge, esoteric knowledge and healing perspectives together. And so it's a big umbrella for all kinds of things that I, you know, the Ayurvedic and the Oriental medicine and so forth. And that fascinated me and drew me. So I've had a series of wonderful teachers. But I've got to honestly say, so I think my experience with being inspired is very personal. I ask for inspiration every day, and my clients who come to me, who are amazing, courageous people, by and large, really looking to have a life that's above and beyond and are not accepting that they have to feel limited in their life. And they inspire me every day, you know.
Right.
That's where my inspiration comes.
Do you have a personal daily practice that keeps your intuition pretty alert? Do you jump on the rooftop every morning at 2 o'clock?
No, I'm 70 years old. I don't be jumping on any rooftop. There's a part of me that wishes I was more disciplined. I don't have any specific practice. The repatterning work that I do, it was originally developed to be able to do for self, and it accesses all these different healing modalities. So I can do that for myself, and many times when I'm in places of confusion or challenge, I sit down and see what comes up for me, what checks for me, and I will follow through on that. I do meditate, but I'm not a consistent meditator. I call in and really listen every day. That is probably what I do, but I may do that in active practice and walking around. There is a part of me that wants to be the disciplinarian and say I should do these things differently and be more consistent. But I've also learned to give her a vacation too, that part of me, because every day is unique and perfect. So I think it's just simply call in my awareness, pay attention, keep my heart open, and look forward to what's coming up. So there's a different practice that's involved every day. But when I reflect, there's always something I've done, but it's sometimes different than the day before.
Natural. It's been quite a year globally, and many people have expressed to me a lot of anxiety, a lot of concern about the future And I believe that many of us are walking with already a preordained script, but we don't really know the script or don't remember the script. So we still have to make effort. We still have to do our work. I just can't sit back and say, well, if everything is preordained, then let it just emerge on its own. No. There is something why there's a reason why we go to numerologists or to intuitive healers or to astrologists or psychics to find out what's going to happen in our future. I always say that because I go, why do you go? There's got to be something that's recorded, and you're only seeking to find out what's ahead of you so that you, the soul, can prepare for it or what you might think you can change it. I don't know if we're changing anything, even if that was pre-recorded. So my question is, what are your feelings about the current times? Because I know intuitives must be like off the chart right now because of their sensitivities in picking up vibrations and picking up energy. How do you get by during these times, and what would you recommend for others?
Well, I'm a little bit of an odd duck with that. I really believe in the concept of chaos theory. I believe we ask for something, especially when we're reaching for something quite a bit above and beyond ourselves, that we end up drawing in chaos to rearrange the molecules. It feels like chaos. It's really a rearrangement of the basic whatever that is making up our lives now in order to allow for what it is we're asking for. And so I'm watching. I mean, it's not that there aren't moments when I'm totally appalled, because there are. And yet at the same time, I've felt very hopeful. I feel very hopeful that this is the premise. This is the chaos before, and to use a kind of exalted word, the enlightenment. This is the arrangement of the basic building blocks, because it has to happen. So I always see whatever we perceive as perpetrators as playing their role in the process. People, there has to be someone who acts out and helps stimulate the chaos. Otherwise, we as human beings like to go along. You know, there is a...
Right.
We enjoy the flow. You know, I certainly enjoy a day that doesn't have any big crisis in it. And I like to look forward to my tomorrow being the same way. However, I do know if there's something I'm asking for that's above and beyond, that those days have to go through a rearrangement process. And by and large, we're not proactive as humans, so it usually has to happen to us. So that's what I'm seeing for the world. I feel actually quite hopeful, because in the middle of all of this, we're seeing huge scientific discoveries. We're seeing huge awarenesses. We're seeing huge openings, even with the recent kind of sexual thing. It's bringing things that have hung out in the shadows up to the light. And that's necessary. It's messy. It's uncomfortable. And for many who don't feel they know how to handle it, I think we all know on some level, but don't feel they know how to handle it, then it gets scary. And, fear is an illusion. And if you focus on it long enough, you'll manifest it. That's my belief. So that's part of my job, is to help people work through those fears and find what it is really, that, you know, the gift that's within all of it. Because I think there's always a new possibility. So I love change. So I'm watching things change and evolve. And I'm grateful that my individual world is as intact as it is. And I really tell people, you know, look at what it is you appreciate right now. And most of us have really pretty good lives. So in spite of all of this. So to me, it's like watching the drama play out.
Right, it is. I think folks are touching their own prejudices, their own greed, as you mentioned, their own shadows that they've been hiding within. And that's why it's become a national and a global epidemic, that whether you're in power or not, there's just a feeling of concern or issues. And I think that even if we feel that somebody is racist or somebody is hateful against Christians or Jews or what have you, You have to ask yourself, am I also hateful? Because I can see this doesn't feel right, this doesn't look right when I see what's happening at that very face level. So I agree with you. It is quite a unique time. I have to admit, though, I can't help but sometimes still do like go, oh, God, I wish we didn't have to go through it like this.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah,
and we could make
like,
it easier on ourselves. We could make it easier on ourselves.
Right,
so
it's right.
Welcome it or we fight against it. And a lot of people have found the resistance, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I watch that. That's not pleasant. It's hard. It's painful. And I find my own resistances, as you say. I figure my best job is to look at my own resistances within myself. What is it
right.
I'm battling against that I really don't want to deal with, acknowledge, or... And so it's a challenge to everybody on even very subtle levels, you know. So we're all in transformation and transition. And then the call is then to just find our grounding and find our security even more strongly than ever before. And what
right.
is it that keeps you in your center, you know? So it's an amazing process. I really believe we've all been called to be here and be
mm-hmm.
a part of it, witness it, experience it. So I think it's an amazing time to be here, but when you're in the middle of it, you're going, oh, my God, you know. So it's a mixed blessing, and yet it's a blessing.
Yes, I get what you mean. So any events coming up for you? Anything you'd like our listeners to know what's on your horizon?
Well, what I will suggest that if anybody's interested in learning how to do this process, which includes all of these different, if they just want a kind of PhD in healing processes, ancient as well as current, because we even use some of the current psychology with family constellations and generational patterns and that kind of thing, that they can go online I'm trying to think of the link. I don't do the teaching anymore, but a friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
Artis Osborne, does. And that's
mm-hmm.
Osborne. And they can learn to do the process and learn some of these things so they can find their way through this and they can get all the online training they might want, a little bit or more. And I think the more we know, the safer we feel. And
that's
so
a nice,
this
that's
is
a nice closing.
Yeah, this is a nice process to work with on that level.
Beautiful, Bonnie.
But
thank you so much for being with us on the air. And is there a website? Did you leave us with a website?
They can look up resonancerepatterning.org, and that will lead them to a lot of it. And it's, yeah, resonancerepatterning.org, and that will lead them to a lot of the links that they can follow through on.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, and happy holidays.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. You too.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. So be optimistic, everyone. 2018 will be a lovely year. It's at least the energy that you put into your future will be what you walk into. So let's give it a shot. Thank you for joining us on America Meditating Radio. Don't forget to go out and get your inclusion revolution together with love by yours truly, and let's wake up and get the game going. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. We are here to love each other the same. Here is Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. Wake up, everybody.
Done.